What makes the modern age different from all earlier periods in history? There could be many answers to this question, but one that stands out prominently is the study of science. There have always been artists, farmers, soldiers, and sailors, even bankers, but there have not always been scientists. Science is about a human thirst to obtain knowledge about the world and the universe that we find ourselves in. And this must be in-depth knowledge and not just practical information for navigating life. Apart from the activities of some exceptional individuals in earlier times, modern science can be said to have its beginnings in Western Europe 4 centuries ago. It is now a dominant feature of our lives. Of the various branches of science, physics is usually considered the most fundamental. This does not, of course, mean it is necessarily the most humanly important, even if it were possible to rank the sciences in this way. Biology, as the study of living creatures, chemistry, as the study of how substances form new substances, these and other sciences also have their place at the front of the stage. But physics, as the study of the most basic aspects of matter, underlies all the other sciences in a certain sense. It may be that among the listeners of this book, there are many who are already knowledgeable about physics. If this applies to you, you may skip much of the next 2 chapters. But I have found that most people see physics as a highly complex subject, and so it will be helpful to explain some of the most important ideas in a quick tour. Hopefully, this will make it possible for listeners to appreciate something of the fascination that physics holds for those of us who are fortunate to work in this area, and also to gain some insight into its central contribution to our understanding of how the universe behaves. We will begin by discussing some of the areas of physics that are most important for everyday life: forces, gravity, electricity, magnetism, light, and heat. We then discuss atoms and elementary particles, leading to a quick look at the so-called God particle. The next chapter will introduce the more enigmatic modern topics of Einstein's relativity theory and quantum physics. First, however, we start off with some basics. Forces. When you push against something that is free to move, it will start to accelerate. Imagine, for example, that you are trying to get a broken-down car to move along a road, and you are pushing it with constant force. The acceleration of the car will be small but constant, and the velocity of the car will be small at first but will gradually increase. The velocity equals the acceleration times the time over which the acceleration acts. The car will be moving twice as fast after 20 seconds as after 10. One must be patient. Now imagine you have a helper. With a second person of similar strength to yourself, there will be twice the force. This means that there will be twice the acceleration, because the acceleration is proportional to the force that is acting. It is harder to get a heavier car moving than a light one, however. If the heavier car is twice as massive, the amount of acceleration will be halved if it is being pushed by the same number of people with the same force. Alternatively, to get the same acceleration, you could use twice as many people. These ideas were first set out clearly by Isaac Newton in the later part of the 17th century. Working as a professor of mathematics at Cambridge, Newton made 3 crucial statements, his laws of motion. The first is that in order to make an object change its velocity, it is necessary to do something to it. If no force...